Our gospel this morning from St. Luke highlights some of the prominent leaders during the time of Christ. And the one thing that they have in common is that they were all very wicked individuals. You have Tiberius Caesar. He reigned from the year 14 through 37, so during most of the life of Christ and his public ministry here on earth. He was a notorious sinner. He was known for public displays of lust, and he would murder people who wouldn't go along with his depravity. And then you have Pontius Pilate, who would put innocent people to death without even giving them trials. He took bribes. He was corrupt. He was a very cruel individual. And then you have Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests. They were appointed by the Romans. The Romans were trying to influence the religious hierarchy at the time. So they were cooperators with Rome, and they were eventually deposed from office because of their wickedness. So you have all this evil and all this corruption and depravity. And then St. Luke says the word of God comes, not to any of the great leaders of the time, but to a hermit living out in the desert, to John the Baptist. And he's the one who's going to announce that salvation is at hand and that a great Savior is coming to his people. I want to focus this morning a little bit on the concept of the desert, because the desert is very important throughout Scripture and certainly into the history of the church as well. You know, the desert is a place of encountering God. The deserts by their nature are very desolate. You know, it's an austere environment, not very conducive to human life. So there's not many people out there. There's usually very harsh conditions, you know, with temperature extremes and a lack of water. But it's within this context that throughout Scripture, you know, there's encounters with God. If we think about the Israelites who were led out of Egypt and they spent 40 years in the desert where God was preparing them to enter into the promised land. You know, Mount Sinai was in the middle of the desert where Moses received the Ten Commandments. John the Baptist spent years in the desert, prayer and fasting. St. Paul, after his encounter with Christ, he went and spent 3 years in the desert of Arabia. And then into the early church, there were early Christian hermits who would go out into the deserts and live in caves in Syria and in Egypt. We call them the desert fathers. And so what's so important about the desert? And then why is it a place of encountering the word of God? Well, part of it is because it is isolating, and because it takes us away from our usual environments to a place where there's more openness and more receptivity to the word of God. Now, most of us are probably not physically going to go and spend much time in the desert. But spiritually, the spiritual writers will talk about entering into the desert, which means withdrawing from the distractions of this world and all the chaos that's around us with our jobs and with the responsibilities of the household, but withdrawing from that to find a place of inner solitude. Eucharistic adoration can be a great place to do that, because we can leave all of our electronics behind, we can turn off our cell phones, we can come to an environment where we're away from all the distractions of our house and spend some time in solitude. You know, but what are we going to find when we enter into the desert? You know, if we take the challenge that John the Baptist gives us to enter into the desert and we step away from the distractions and enter into a place of prayer and of inner solitude, what are we going to find? Well, the first thing that people usually find is they don't like being in the desert. It's not pleasant. You know, it's not very comfortable. Most people would much rather be in their living room, sitting in their lazy boy, watching sports, having a nice drink. They'd much rather be doing that than entering into the desert. But that's an indication of the selfishness that's present within our will. Because most of us would much rather be comfortable and be entertained than to seek the word of God. But we're not created to indulge our selfish desires. We're not created for entertainment. We're created for union with God. And part of seeking union with God means we need to turn away from our selfish desires. And so most people aren't going to like entering into the desert, at least at first, because we're not indulging ourselves. But we need to be purified of those selfish desires in order to hear the word of God. And that's why entering into the desert is important, because it strips us of our desires, our selfish desires for entertainment and comfort. The second thing that people often find is it's unnerving to enter into the desert because we're very often not used to being alone with ourselves. You know, very often we have the TV going or music going in the background all the time. We keep ourselves very busy. When we're alone, things can surface within us that we don't expect. Sometimes things that we've buried from the past or things we've walled off and would rather not deal with. You know, it could be a wound from the past that's not healed, or you know, some lack of forgiveness or some vice within us, anger or something like that that comes to the surface. And we might not be expecting that. But it's important for us to deal with those things in order to find inner peace. And if we never take that time of isolation and silence to allow those things to come to the surface, then the wounds from the past aren't truly healed. Or the things that are causing disruption within us just fester under the surface. And so the second thing that we find is that things will come to the surface, but these are things that we often need to deal with. The third thing that we'll find is that as we spend time in the desert, in isolation and in silence, we'll begin to see the valleys and hills that John the Baptist talks about. Because all of us have valleys and hills, things that impede the word of God in our relationship with Christ. And if we don't see those things, it's not because they're not there. It's probably because we're not paying any attention to them. Or we're just so busy with other things that we're not addressing the vices that are within us. Because all of us have disorder and vices within us. And so when we enter into the desert, we might find things that we recognize that we haven't seen before, like we love our careers more than we love God. We think about that 10 times more than we think about God. Or we might find out that we blow off moral teachings whenever they're inconvenient for us because we love our own will more than we love seeking the truth. Or we might find out that we're treating people disrespectfully or harboring hatred. Things that we didn't realize previously that we begin to see. And that's important to first recognize those things in the spiritual life. But the fourth thing that we'll find in the desert is that we will also begin to hear the voice of God speak to us. And that's ultimately the purpose of entering into the desert. You know, when we're so distracted and filled with the chaos of life, we can't always hear the voice of God. But when we enter into the desert, we'll begin to hear the words of our Lord that will bring us to our knees in reverence and awe before Him. We'll begin to hear the words that our Lord speaks to us that heal the wounds of our past. We'll begin to hear the word of God that purifies our desires and strengthens our wills. And ultimately, we'll find the companionship that fulfills what our hearts seek. And it's very different just to hear the words that Christ says, "I am with you always," and just have them come in one ear and go out the other, versus hearing Christ speak those words directly to us in the solitude of the desert. "I am with you always." Most people don't go into the desert. Most Catholics probably have never been into the desert. Or they turn back after going there only for a brief time because it's not pleasant at first. But that's the invitation that St. John the Baptist gives us, especially during this Advent season, is to enter into the desert. Because we have a choice. We can stay with the Caesars and the Pontius Pilates and the Caiaphases of the world. And we can try and fulfill ourselves with the depravity that this world offers. But we're never going to find fulfillment. Or we can turn away from those things and enter into the solitude of the desert. Deny our own desires. You know, face the things that may surface within us, and ultimately to hear the word of God. But if we do stay in the desert, we'll begin to love the time in the desert, and we'll begin to seek refuge in the desert, because ultimately it's not a place of isolation, but it's a place of purification, and it's a place where we encounter the voice of God. And so the question for us today is, are we going to stay within our lives and within the world seeking our fulfillment there? Or are we going to go out in the desert with John the Baptist to seek the word of God?